They say time is the fire in which we burn.
That is some quality melodrama from Star Trek Generations.
Right now, Captain, my time is running out.
We're talking today about time and all the ways we think about it and play with it. Think of Gabriel Garcia Marquez expanding his characters' lives across centuries, or Proust lingering for chapters over one single sun-drenched moment, or Madonna's biannual reinvention. My guest today is the astrophysicist and novelist Alan Lightman. His hugely popular and remarkable book, Einstein's Dreams, is a series of meditations on the nature of time. Alan, your new novel, The Diagnosis, also connects to the idea of time. It is, in large measure, about the price we pay for our modern obsession with speed, among other things. Why does this idea appeal to you? Why does this idea something you had to write about?
Well, I don't know why I'm particularly obsessed with time, but I did write about the frenzy of modern life in my latest novel because I feel that is a malaise of our society. I think that the frantic speed has deprived us of slowness and silences and privacy. So I think that we've paid a lot for that speed.
You have, as nearly as I can tell, for your whole life been simultaneously an artist and a scientist, a kid who played with rockets and a kid who wrote poems. A few years ago, you moved from the physics department at MIT to its humanities department. Was that part of this same dawning sense you had that art was where you were happier?
Well, that decision was actually a practical decision because I was a theoretical physicist, and theoretical physicists, and to a lesser extent, all scientists reach their peak at a fairly young age. There's a certain mental agility, almost an athleticism involved with scientific work, and it favors a young age. And once I had passed that age, I had always been interested in the arts and in writing. Once I had passed that peak, and I was aware of it when it happened, I could see my powers decreasing. I decided that I would put more of my life's effort into writing fiction, in which I hope that I can grow and get better and better for many years. So it was a practical decision to move more from physics to the humanities.
In Einstein's Dreams, you meditate at various moments on the different ways that time can be said to exist, that it may be a circle that bends back on itself and repeats endlessly, or that it may be a stream that can be displaced and rippled by breezes, and so on. Do you have the conviction or the belief or the sense that, in fact, time is a human invention, that we've imposed our notion of time on existence?
Well, I think that there's a physical time and there's a psychological time. And the physical time, I think, is something that does exist outside of our bodies. It is described quantitatively by Einstein's theory of special relativity. And I think that more or less all scientists accept that theory as describing the flow of physical time. But an equally interesting and an equally strange form of time is psychological time, the human experience of time. And that, I believe, is a very rich construction of the human mind that responds to our emotions and our feelings. And that, to me, is wonderful territory for a writer, as you mentioned, Marcel Proust and Gabriel Garcia Marquez and many other writers have played with the sort of psychological and human experience of time.
Which is the form of time that you, in The Diagnosis, worry about being sort of altered in a way that we're not entirely in control of.
Yes, yes.
Your wife is a painter?
She is.
Do you have a sense that she looks at time differently than you as a result of that discipline?
I think she looks at time differently than me because she's a different kind of a person. She's a person who is able to live in the moment. And I think if there's any quality in my book, Einstein's Dreams, that I treasure most, it's the worlds where a person is able to live in the moment. I think that that is a precious gift. And my wife has that gift. She is able to suspend time and just live in whatever activity she's doing it with no thought for the past and no thought for the future. And of course, when she paints, she gets into this creative state, which all artistic people do, where time is suspended. But I think that this aspect of her personality is even stronger, whereas I am more of a type A person who is constantly thinking about what am I going to do next, the future. I'm very much thinking about the future, and consequently, I don't live well in the moment, and I think that this is a great loss, which I regret.
So when you call the world a bunch of sinners in their inability to have contemplative, out-of-time moments, you really are saying you're a sinner as well.
I'm including myself very much so, absolutely.
Is there an aspect of time and its perception that you find especially interesting?
I find it fascinating that sometimes time seems to move slowly and sometimes it moves quickly. I know that when I go into my creative state, when I'm writing, that 4 or 5 hours can go by and I'm totally unaware of it. Whereas when I'm experiencing some intense pleasure or some intense pain, then I'm aware of each millisecond. And I think this is a marvelous and strange quality of human consciousness, that the mind time or the body time does not flow at a constant rate.
And I suppose before Einstein figured out how time worked, and we all were convinced of that, or the scientists were convinced and we believed them, that there was no disjuncture between that mutable, slowing, accelerating perception of time and the sense of what time itself was.
Well, we did have clocks before Einstein, and I think that a more interesting moment in the history of time was the invention of pretty good clocks, which might have been, I'm guessing, in the 16th century or so. Body time, or this mutable time that we were talking about, was always with us from primitive times. We of course, knew that there were regular temporal clocks in nature, like day and night and the seasons. But I believe that when the first good clock was invented, and it was probably a water clock, and people could see the dropping of time in drops of water or in drops of sand, time flowing outside of their own bodies, this must have been the great shock in history regarding time.
And it's interesting. I think you're right, and it's interesting, isn't it, and not coincidental, that the invention of clocks, the invention of capitalism, and the Enlightenment project generally sort of happened at the same moment. And what you're talking about now at this exponentially accelerated end of that is simply all of those good things that began in the Renaissance carried on and on.
Just a continuation. Yes, too much of a good thing.